Good morning to you all.
I'm grateful to be here today to share God's word with you and fellowship with you. The Lord is doing mighty things in our land this day, for which we got to let you also know to continue to pray with us. The text the Lord has laid up on my heart to share with you is what is there. And I'll take a reading from that. Shall we have a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you this morning, even as I have the privilege to share your word with the brethren here. It's my prayer, Lord, my accent will not be a problem, but your Holy Spirit will give enablement that they can understand a few things to share with your people for encouragement for the kingdom business you have called us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Mark, as we see Mark 1, verse 14-15, there I read. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Amen. Brethren in the Lord, three main things I have seen in this text. After John the Baptist was put into prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come now. The time has come now. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Three main thrusts. God works on time. God works on time. Two, there is a kingdom which is being preached around the world, which was begun by Jesus himself, the kingdom of God. So the theme, kingdom business. When I say kingdom business, I want to respond. Do you know the response you give me? The kingdom business, the Father's business, and our business. So I'm going to say it. The kingdom business, the Father's business, our business. Again, the kingdom business, the Father's business, and our business. This message of the gospel, which the Lord himself began, and he said, the time is now. The time is now. It calls for repentance and faith. That is the currency to buy the kingdom commodity. Just as every currency has two faces. Face one, repentance towards God. An acceptance of the truth that God is real. We need to believe him and take him seriously. What time is the Lord talking about? When I go back into history, which I studied a little before I came to know the Lord, and I began to wonder, and I've come to understand and explain to myself and others that God is the author of history. I never knew. The time we were studying history, we learn of the Babylonian kingdom. We learn of the Persian and Medo-Persia kingdom. We learn of the Grecian kingdom, the Roman kingdom. And then those who colonized us, the British, the Germans, the French, the Portuguese, the Danes, the Italians, and all that, you can continue to call them 10 toes, as history says. Then coming to know the Lord, and I began to teach these things streamlined in scripture. Then I said, wow, what a wonderful God. Our God is the author of history. Whatever is happening today is already streamlined by God. And so, precisely, I never knew I would be here today. On the 30th of December last year, the close of the year, the Lord began to teach me some things when I was meditating on the kingdom prayer the Lord taught. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And while I went to sleep, the Lord began to speak to me. And I was shouting, praise the Lord, hallelujah, not knowing my wife was awake. So whilst we were traveling and I was sharing the dream, she said I was awake. And I was saying, what is happening to this man this night? All that the Lord was telling me was this. The Lord took me to Psalm 2. Why are the nations at range against the Lord and his son, Jesus? Let's cut his cords, their chains from ourselves and be free. And the Lord is laughing at people, saying, look at them. I've already set my king up. Christ is already on the throne. And nobody can take the throne from him. But the Lord was rather pleading with people that we should bow and accept him now. We should kiss the son, for it did not belong. He will become annoyed. He will rule the world with his scepter, with his iron hand, and he will break them and dash them like clay. So we should accept him today, reconcile with him today, kiss him today, and blessed are those who give themselves to this cause. Blessed are those who accept him. And the Lord was telling me, over time till now, not everybody will be willing to serve the Lord. The Lord was encouraging me because we were working tirelessly among the Muslims, but it takes few people to turn to the Lord. As the work was not going as fast as I could, and as I was praying, the Lord began to encourage me. Not everybody will accept. Samuel, keep on. Share the good news. Talk about the kingdom of heaven. Samuel, by all means, turn to the Lord. All the beautiful songs we were singing here, talking about the heavens, the coming of the Lord, coming to know him, I felt so refreshed that many are following him, even if some will not. And then the Lord began to tell me again that he has all the nations at his heart. And he took me to the Nebuchadnezzar story, where he saw the statue in the form of man. That was in the dream. The Lord was leading me through all this. And then the Lord was saying he has the nations at heart. Abraham was called. Through him, God has a vision of bringing all nations to himself. But yet, Israel fell behind. And God has to take them back to their grandfather's land, Chaldea, in the land of Babylon, so that they can go and see whether worshiping idol was something good or not. But when they went, the few brethren, Daniel and his brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were God-fearing, as young as they are, though they changed their names to indoctrinate them back into idol worship, their heart was not changed. They still trusted in their God. And when the king saw in the dream the statue that is in the form of a man, and he threw the challenge to his people, come and interpret and help me know what is happening. And the people confessed and said, nobody can do this unless the gods. And even this God does not live among people. So it took the Israelites to let the king know that our God lives with his people. Our God is not far from people. He can live with us. He can walk with us. He can fellowship with us. To open the eyes of the pagan king also to know that, yes, God of heaven wants all to come to him. So the Israelites explained the dream. The golden hair is you, Nebuchadnezzar. Your kingdom will not last. It will end. The next one that will come, the silver. Daniel lived to see this kingdom also, the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. He did not live to see the Grecian kingdom, which is the bronze. But yet we are here today. I learned it in history, and now I've seen it in the Bible, and I'm excited. So the bronze is the Grecian kingdom. The iron legs is the Roman kingdom. And the Lord said, this kingdom, the Roman kingdom, will also be split into 10 toes. And they are the nations that colonized the world. And the gospel came through them to us. That is God's wisdom. But now, the work is not finished. God still has the nations at his heart. And in the dream, it is said that a small stone fell, and it fell on the 10 toes and crushed everything. And that small stone grew very big and filled the whole earth. And that is the kingdom of our God, which we are expecting to come to manifest physically to us. And we are supposed to be part of that kingdom. Listen to me, gentlemen and ladies. The Lord told the Israelites the message should be preached everywhere. And he demonstrated it. So the next verse, which is 29 to 39, it says that after Jesus has preached at the synagogue, he left and went to the house of Peter. And Peter's mother-in-law was sick. The Lord went and touched her, and the lady became fine. And the lady ministered to them, took care of them. By the evening, a lot of people came with problems, which will never end in any part of the world. While they came in, Jesus healed them that night, and they went to sleep. Early morning, Jesus went to seek the face of the Lord, his Father. And it is said the house was full of many people. Lots of people came. And Peter and his brothers began to search for Jesus. They finally saw him. They said, Lord, everybody is waiting for you. What made me a shock, and it continued to be a shock to me, was that Jesus told them, let us go to other people, also other cities, and tell them the good news. Because this is the reason why I came. This is the reason why I came. Let's go. And in actual fact, they left the people and they went to other places. But today, we, the church, we sit down, we are forgetting others. Others have heard. You have all heard. You are prepared for heaven. There are many in the sub-Saharan nation who have not heard. That is why I'm here to shout and call you on my brethren. Come and assist us to accomplish the work. The sub-Saharan nations, it is known that they are the poorest in the whole world. So just as governments do support, why should the church not support us to accomplish this great work that is before us? The Arab world, which was first captured by the gospel through all Europe, Asia Minor, where we had the churches in the Revelation, the book of Revelation, they are no longer there. They have turned to be Arabs today who are Muslims today. They have got their good share. Many of them in the first century have received Christ. That was where the churches were. But today, North Africa all have become Muslim nations. And we are in the South Sahara waiting for the gospel. And the Muslims now, you buy their petrol, they have money, and then they are pumping money into the area. We don't have the resources to fight back and bring our brothers to know Christ. There is a belt between us and the North who don't know Islam, but yet Islam is now coming in. And the church also have to push in and get these people to the Lord. Who will be of help to us if not the church, who have already known the Lord? Thank the Lord, many of you do visit us and support. I'm just here to encourage you that there is more to this work to be done. One fascinating thing the Lord told me was in Acts chapter 1. When the Lord died and resurrected, as Revelation 5:9 says, that he died to shed his blood to buy us to himself. From all languages, all tribes, all nations, to himself, fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant. When he resurrected, he began also to instruct the disciples about the kingdom business that will be coming on. And fascinatingly, in verse 6 of that Acts chapter 1, verse 6, the disciples said, Jesus, always about this kingdom of God, this kingdom of God. What about the kingdom of Israel? When are you going to set the kingdom of Israel for us again? Kingdom of Israel. It's a different thing altogether as compared to the kingdom of God. Kingdom of Israel is the Davidic kingdom, which will be coming, but it is just a small portion of the whole plan of God. So Jesus has to refocus them again to the truth that yes, the kingdom of God will come. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel, you are demanding will come. But it has its own timing in God's plan. But now, you must receive the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses. In this very Jerusalem you are talking about, the whole Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So let's take it for example that this is Judea, in which Jerusalem is the capital. From there then we go to Samaria. From there then we go to the ends of the earth. Now, there is no way going back to those people again. They have heard. The message should continue to us in sub-Saharan nation where we haven't heard. Is this wrong? I'm saying these things. Am I saying something which is reasonable? Israel have heard. The Arab world in that time, they heard. Where the churches were in the book of Revelations, all over there they have heard. So the message should continue. From Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, where we are today, in the sub-Saharan nations. We need your help. We need your prayer. And God, I hope, through you, will bring joy to many people who are lingering in the dark. Our parents either continue to worship the idols or they turn to Islam. That's the challenge of the time. And so when you hear of the Boko Haram and all those things happening in Nigeria, currently in Burkina Faso, currently in Cote d'Ivoire, these are all in the sub-region. Wickedness and atrocities. Taking children as slaves to force them into marriage, teenagers in schools. This is the atrocities that the Muslims are doing. And we are helpless. Because they are guarded to do this. You go to the villages, they are building mosques from place to place. They give money to the people to do some trading. Because of poverty, people can just fall into their hands. And when we said Jesus loves you, we have nothing to back it. We have nothing to back these needs. It's our prayer. By the grace of God, many of you, like how our brother do visit us, he comes to see things himself. Russell came and made some legs for people who were broken down because of motor accidents and all those things. Come and see the joy of people. We are praying that the Lord will touch the hearts of many. If it comes for visit, yes, you come and visit us. Come and strengthen us so that we can do the little we are doing by the power of the Holy Spirit to let the others also come to know him before Christ comes. May his gracious hand continue to give you the strength and the grace as you rally yourself behind us, praying and supporting. The Lord continue to bless you. This is my word the Lord showed me to share with the world. I never knew I would be here. I never knew I would be in the United States to tell you what the Lord told me. I'm excited. And I hope the Lord will continue to bless you also. Until he comes, let's continue. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, it's my prayer. Your graciousness will continue to help our sisters, our brothers here to understand the situation in which we are in the Sahel region, down South Sahara, where there is need, many lingering and crying for help. May your Holy Spirit continue to touch hearts, to separate people unto yourself for this high calling, so that we will fulfill the very good job that you have assigned to us to do. To your own glory and honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.